tuning in today and downloading or listening to or whatever you're doing with this podcast. I appreciate your support. I'm here today with a little bit of a different spin on this show. So, as you know, every week I have a different guest on the podcast, and many people have mentioned that while they really love to hear all of the information that the guests have to offer, they, if they don't know me personally, they're really kind of curious as to who is this person that is interviewing these guests. So by popular demand, I have turned the tables today, and I am going to be interviewed right here in the hot seat in Raleigh, North Carolina, where my interviewer, did I say that right?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I've got Kim Darty back here on the podcast.
You know, Kelly, you've done wonders with your studio. Just walking in, I feel very good vibes, good karma going on here. And also, you've done a great deal with your hair. I love your hair. I love your studio.
Wow.
And I so love the opportunity to really have you on the hot seat because there are so many questions. The listeners have, I have. Your brother has. We all just want to find out more about Kelly.
And so
this is going to be fun.
This is going to be fun. So I didn't know that I had invited you to just come here and throw shade at the studio. Just so everybody knows, we're in my kitchen right now because hashtag self-employed. And it's we have kind of high ceilings here. So we've got pillows set up on either side of the microphone to help with the bouncing off and the feedback. So I'll share a picture of what this looks like, but needless to say, it is not the fanciest of setups, but you know what? We're getting the job done.
You know, Kelly, it's very earthy, and it goes in keeping with choreographing your career. Nobody starts out with primetime studios,
that
and definitely this would be one for the ages. It's a nice setup.
Maybe one of these days we'll invest a little bit more money into this, but right now, here we are.
You know what I'd like to do, Kelly? I'd like to dig right in, if you don't mind. We want to get down to the meat of the matter, and that is all about Kelly.
Mm.
And we mean that in a very, very loving way. Kelly, based on some of the questions, this interview could take twists and turns that no one is really sure of, so be prepared. I would like to start out by you just giving us a general overview of what led you to choose your current path in life.
So, as a lot of people know, I have made a career as a choreographer and a coach and a dance teacher. In the throes of that, though, I also worked for a real estate investment company while I was kind of trying to get my choreography career more off the ground. It was something that I was doing in addition to help supplement income. And I found that I really loved both things. And I would have never admitted that out loud while it was happening. In fact, I was aggressively saying that I hated what I was doing and, you know, this was not what I set out to do and so on and so forth. But if I'm being honest and I'm reflecting on the matter, I really did love it. And part of the reason why I loved it is because they both career paths really at the root of it were very similar in that I loved working with people, I loved to teach, I loved to inspire, and I loved to create things. And in the position that I was in with the real estate investment company, I got to work on creating marketing plans, and I got to work on creating content, and that led into me working as the training coordinator for the company. So I developed the employee new hire training, and I also coordinated all of the events and continued education, for over 350 to 400 people every year, and that was really rewarding, and I really enjoyed that. I obviously, my passion was with the choreography, and still is, don't get me wrong. I love to choreograph, but you know, I tried to figure out somewhere along the line how I could combine the two things and how I could kind of marry the two careers because I have a really hard time giving things up. I don't really love to walk away from anything. So if I can make things sing together, I would love to be able to do so. So that's where we are. And I'm trying to, you know, kind of rebrand myself as a motivational speaker and a business and life coach, as well as a choreographer, because again, it's very much my passion and I don't really want to stop doing that, but I definitely want to try to bring back my roots of the real estate investment firm into my day-to-day.
Well, Kelly, you know, in no matter what anyone does in life, we have to get at-bats, opportunities to get better in real time, meaning you're interacting with people that they care about the outcomes. Share with us a few moments during your journey that really stand out as an aha moment, where as opposed to a oh no moment or a uh-oh moment, as little baby Luke would say. What are some moments that stand out that really did lead you or kept you coming back to the path you're on now?
So I think that for me, the moments of aha, this is what I need to be doing, really come from feedback from individuals. And a lot of that, you know, is just people who would contact me and say, you know, you really inspired me, or you really taught me a lot, or you really motivated me to do whatever it was that they their goal was. And I think after a while, I started hearing that more. And that led me to believe that maybe the story that I was sharing and maybe the information that I was giving to people was great. And, you know, obviously we can always improve and get better at it. But I think that, you know, hearing that often led me to believe that maybe I was in the right place, and maybe that I needed to just fine tune that a little bit more and figure out a way that I could continue to motivate and continue to inspire and, you know, help people go after and choreograph not just a dance, but their life goals and their day-to-day goals and, you know, whatever the case may be. I think it's really important that people have a game plan and follow the game plan. And I think that another aha moment for me is just when I do set myself up for success, I guess, it's very rare that it doesn't pan out. Obviously, it's going to. You're going to have twists and turns. But if you have a pretty solid plan and a pretty solid path, it's more than likely it's going to go well for you.
Well, for instance, let's pick today. Okay. What was your game plan for today? I know you have many things on your plate. But do you plan that when you get up in the morning? Do you plan it the night before? How do you think through a day, or how do you approach a given day?
So my day starts really early in the morning, usually around like 6:30, which I know does not sound that early, but it goes until all hours of the night a lot of times. So there are some mornings when I wake up and I'm like, whoa, here we are and we're back. So I like to make a game plan the night before, so I know I can wake up and look at the list. And what I do is I'm a pen to paper, definitely write it down. I like to draw a box and then write the goal on the outside so that I can have the gratification of putting a check mark in that box, which is pretty old school, but that's just what keeps me going. And I like to make a list of about 8 things that I want to get done every day. My goal is if all 8 get accomplished, that's awesome. But I always shoot for 4 because, as I have said, I like to work in 4s and 8s. That's just how my brain works best. And so if I get 4 of those things accomplished, I feel like it's been a pretty successful day. And then whenever I don't get accomplished, I'll rewrite down the next day. And I like to put things in order of importance, of course, and like to knock out the things that maybe I don't like as much first. That way I can focus more on the fun things later if I have time. But yeah, that's kind of how I go about choreographing my day. And the other part of it is, because the days are long and because, you know, whenever you have a startup, you have all of this is resting on your shoulders. So you're the CEO, you're the CFO, you're the marketing director, you are the IT person, which is very scary in this instance. You're responsible for a lot of things. So I like to make sure that throughout the course of the day, I do kind of break that up by getting up and either going for a run or going to do a yoga class or something like that to just make sure that I don't remain booty in seat the whole day.
You know, we were talking when you picked me up from the airport about how all the behind the scene details, and you hinted at it with respect to you're the marketing director, things of that nature, but you're also the janitor, you're the fix-it person, you're the one that will get, especially in your current position, you're getting calls all day long that maybe aren't part of your plan. So how do you handle those? Meaning you're working on your list and then all of a sudden a call comes in on something you maybe were not expecting or that catches you a bit off guard. How do you put that into the list?
So, you know, in what I do, my role is very people first. You know, this is about collaborating with other people. And so I look at those calls as being a very important part of the day. They do sometimes throw me off the path, but at the end of, you know, at the end of the day, they are probably more important in some cases than what I have planned for the day. I mean, if I'm getting a call from someone who needs to work through a problem with me, that's going to be more important to me than designing a Instagram story that's going to, you know, maybe be seen by 100 people, you know. So again, because again, my goal is to help others. And so that definitely is more important. And while that probably skews the path, if you will, it's fine. That doesn't bother me. Then I just kind of, I'll come back to it after we get whatever issue is resolved and move it on.
You know, Kelly, you've always been a very, and I mean this in a positive sense, a very emotional person, meaning you tend to say you love things, you hate things, and I know you do love things, and I know there are things that are not to your liking, but yesterday when I was watching you, the good you seem to embrace, and it seems to fuel you, and you kind of just shake your head about the not so good, and not that you ignore it, but you kind of shake it off and move on.
Yeah.
And that is not easy to do.
I'm really good at compartmentalizing, which is kind of a fault sometimes, I've learned and have been told.
Now, who might tell you that?
I have some friends that have said, maybe you should try to feel things a little bit more that are not good. And, you know, maybe they're right. But I feel like, especially in business and in what I'm doing, I do hear a lot of negative things. And if I got too invested in the negative, I feel like I wouldn't be able to move forward. So for me, it's easier to kind of hear it, take action if I need to, but then pack it up and put it in a box and come back to it.
And you're well aware that your role is to help people with the hurdles.
Yeah.
And if it was easy, it can be very rewarding, but as you know, it's very challenging.
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel like I'm pretty good at believe it or not, which you as my father probably are going to have a hard time believing this. I am actually, if it's not happening to me directly, or even if it is, I am pretty good at this point in my life in removing the emotion from things, and I can look at it objectively, which has been something that I've had to work really hard on because that was not always the case. But, you know, a lot of times it's just business and you can't take it personally and you got to keep moving. And, you know, if it's something where someone's telling you no or somebody's getting emotional about it, at the end of the day, it probably doesn't have anything to do with me or it doesn't have anything to do with you or whatever the case is. So I think that's where I've gotten much better at seeing things objectively and, again, just kind of setting it aside and helping people work through that and helping people see that. And hopefully that will be helpful to them in the long run.
I would totally agree. And needless to say, I have watched the progression over the years. And I would agree with you. You've gotten much, much better. We are all somewhat of a work in progress. But hey, I want to ask you a question before we get too deep into it. Are you a titles person, a numbers person, influencer?
I'm definitely not an influencer. Although, you know, there have been people who have said, you know, I bought these because you told me to, which, yikes. You know, there are a lot of products and that sort of thing that I do really believe in. And I do very much support, but I wouldn't call myself an influencer type. As far as titles are concerned, I'm not really a titles person either. I mean, I've mentioned it before. There was some bit of gratification that came with my new business cards having CEO on it. Like, that was cute. But I think really at the end of the day, if I am hearing feedback from people that is, you know, you've really helped me or you've really inspired me or you motivated me, that's really the kind of person I am. I'm not definitely not a numbers person. I do obviously, as a lot of people are, am driven by, you know, the idea of a salary and making money, like I think anybody is, but I would forego that if the return was I can see people growing and getting better, if that makes sense. Not that I'm trying to work for free by any means.
So it's that feedback that makes you say it's been a great day? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I say the positive feedback is obviously great, but even the areas that I need to grow, I feel like all feedback is good feedback. Even if it's not like sunshine, rainbows, and roses, I love to hear how I can be better and how I can do better, and then take from that what I think I need to focus on or redirect and go from there. I think it's good.
Hey, Kelly, looking back, who or what are some of the biggest mentors or sources of inspiration that you've had that maybe really motivated you to again move forward in your current business?
Well, I would say you and Mom have very much been a source of motivation and inspiration. And I think a lot of that is obviously watching you both have your own businesses throughout the course of my life has been something that I have been very lucky to see, and I've really taken a lot from both of you in experiencing that. I also would say that my high school theater director, Tim Bucket, who is the man, he is another person who always really inspired me to, you know, go after it and do it. I've had a lot of friends along the way who have been just so instrumental in helping me believe and see that this is a good idea. You know, recently, my friend Clayton, who was on the show before, he was the one who finally looked at me, and not that everybody hadn't been doing it all along, but he finally looked at me. He's like, "What are you doing? Like, just do it. You keep talking about it, like make it happen." And I guess maybe it was the straw that broke the camel's back. I don't know, but he really pushed me kind of over the edge on starting the KDS Collaborative. And so that was great. I think at the end of the day, the people who have always supported me no matter what. So you and Mom, Tim Buckeye, obviously, my friends, my brother, who we love dearly, but we are, you know, a little bit different in our goals. Alas, he is always very supportive. I think at the end of the day, it's been all of these people who have been cheerleader types for me that I'm really thankful for. And I don't want to name a lot of other names because I'm sure that I'm going to leave people out. And that's going to be a bummer when they listen to this and I get a mail bomb.
Well, you brought up Buckeye, and what a great guy. And I know he did not give you an easy path, nor did he give anyone an easy path.
No.
He laid down the smack when people stepped out of line.
So
let's go back to school, and I'll let you pick where you want to start, at what grade level. And what about school? What were your majors? What classes did you enjoy?
So I started, well, obviously in high school, I went to St. Francis Borgia. You don't major in high school, although I felt like I did major in theater and speech. I took a lot of theater classes, a lot of speech classes. That was what I knew I loved right off the bat. They didn't offer dance, but I did dance at Joe's School of Dance growing up, which was awesome. Shout out to Joe. Following high school, went to Webster University for 2 years where I was a dance major. I found that Webster wasn't exactly the program that I was looking for, and so I transferred to the University of Central Oklahoma where I graduated from. And I actually, because of where I went to high school, we were able to take a lot of college credit classes, so I was able to graduate early, which was great. And I moved to New York following that and did the whole performer auditioning situation moment and lived there. And that's where I feel like I really grew up, honestly. Like,
no choice.
No choice. Sing or swim. And it was awesome. I loved all the experiences that I had both in college and living in New York. It was great. But I always knew at the end of the day, I liked performing. It was not where my passion was, though. My passion was definitely in teaching and choreography. So I didn't stay in New York super long. I ended up moving back to St. Louis after about 2 years, and I'm happy I made that decision.
Well, I know when you first got to New York and you sent a picture back, you had someone take a picture of you next to a bunch of boxes, and you said, "This is where I'm living." And your mom said, "You know, maybe we need to go up there and help her get settled in." And I said, "Mary Kay, I think Kelly is telling us we could not handle her current situation."
I felt like people have an idea in their brain that I was living like in a trash can. But truly, I lived in two very nice apartments whenever I lived there. They should be nice as we were paying enough money for it, for God's sakes. But I will never forget when I moved the day that I moved to New York. We were driving to the airport and Mary Kay was driving and Mike was in the car. I guess you were at work. I'm not really entirely sure. And I was sitting in the back and I had like three suitcases and she just kind of dumped me off at the gate and was like, "Good luck." And I was like, "Bye." And now looking back on that moment, I'm like, I cannot believe that someone let me do that.
Well, you know, then there's that. And the good thing about your mom is, if there's an event coming up right after she dumps you off, she will move on quickly.
I think she had a hair appointment.
Probably. Well, yeah, that and press on nails. But she definitely loves you. But I think she learned from her mom and dad when to step back. And as you know, you never met my mom and dad, but your grandma and grandpa, boy, you talk about two people that I think have, for all of us, been a great inspiration. Mm-hmm. Tell us something about grandma and our grandpa that just stands out in your mind that makes what they contributed to your life so special.
Gosh, that's hard to say. My grandpa, growing up, he was a dentist, and everyone loved him, and he was just such a great doctor. And I do remember, I think that I developed a real sense of guilt from him whenever I got my first cavity and he was very disappointed in me. And I will never forget that. I was like scared to go back over to his house. And I think it was maybe probably not solely in that moment, but a lot of that moment that I realized that letting people down was not something that I was going to do. And that's something that I still carry with me very much to this day. I can't live with myself if I feel like I've let someone down. And I think he might have contributed to that a little bit when he wouldn't even speak to me for a minute. He was really mad.
I think he was letting it sink in, as I know you do with the people you're coaching.
Absolutely.
You ask a tough question and then you quiet down and you let them basically for a little while feel guilty and or reflect.
Yeah. Yeah, he he's the nicest guy in the world.
No
doubt. So that's why I knew I was in trouble, because he was always very kind and he didn't want to speak to me. So there was that. And then as far as grandma was concerned, you know, she was a tough cookie too growing up. This did not happen directly to me, but it's one of my favorite stories. Is my cousins were staying at their house overnight while their parents are out of town. And, I guess grandma and grandpa were staying at their house. It doesn't matter. Long story short, they always used to like to go to bed with some lunch meat in their hands. And Claire was not having that, even though my aunt had left a very, very specific rules. And one of the rules was that they got to go to bed with lunch meat in their hands. Sorry. And she was not going to have that happen. And she let it be known. And, you know, she was a tough one. Very German. Mm-hmm. Very,
she would awk anything. Awk.
Yeah.
And that meant it was over. Discussion over.
But she was awesome. And she is awesome. They're both still with us. And we're very, very lucky to have them in our lives and to get to watch them be with their grandkids and be with their own kids. And it's pretty neat. They've built quite the dynasty of people in that family.
Yes, they sure have. You know, both your grandma and grandpa, and then you watched your mom closely, very much always contributing back to the community.
Yes. My grandma started, and Mary Kay on the podcast spoke about this. She started Meals on Wheels in Washington, Missouri, which was just huge. And my grandpa was very involved in the town of Washington in as far as landscaping and all
parks.
Parks and all of that. And, you know, they spent a lot of time giving back. They're very, very much into faith, and they're just wonderful people.
Okay, I'm going to change course a little bit here. What is maybe the biggest or one of the biggest pieces of advice that you would give to someone that is choosing to possibly start their own business or go out on their own?
Well, first of all, you have to go into it knowing that you're going to wear every single hat, unless you are financially in a place that you can hire people right off the bat to help you. You're going to do it all. And you have to understand that the days are going to be long, and there are going to be really great days and there are going to be really bad days. And I think if you can just continue to look at the end goal, that will help on the bad days. And the good days, you know, just celebrate them. It's fun. Honestly, here's the thing. I had to come to terms really early with, if this works out, awesome. Love that. If this doesn't work out, it's been so fun. And I've learned a lot along the way as far as, you know, how to go about it. How do you set up an LLC? How do you do a podcast? How do you do all of the social media? You know, and I learn every day. And I think you just have to be open to learn, ready to probably fail a little bit, and ready to celebrate great days.
Anything special you wish you would have done earlier in your life, or class you wish you'd have taken, or something you wish you would have maybe addressed at an earlier time in your life?
Well, given my current relationship status, I do wish that I would have paid more attention in Spanish class.
that's fair.
Would have been good. I do wish that I would have maybe taken a business class. I never did take a business class. I think that probably would have been good for me. Now, as a CEO of the KDS Collaborative, that probably would have been good.
Yeah, you kind of come in the back door on that one.
I've had to learn some lessons along the way that maybe if I would have known up front would have been helpful. But no, I do think like maybe paying attention in Spanish class would have been better. I think that the business class would have been good. I think that there's a lot that I wish I knew more with regard to social media. Thankfully, I spend a lot of time with people who are of the age that really get it. And I get it to a point. You know, social media just kind of started to pop off whenever I was living in New York, actually, is whenever I know I had my first MySpace account at that point. But Facebook was still, you had to have an account. You could only have an account, sorry, if you were in college. And I had graduated, so I couldn't have a Facebook account right away. Obviously, now that's changed, but that was part of it. So a lot of this huge social media boom, I was busy doing other things while it was happening. And I wish that maybe I would have paid more attention to things like analytics and algorithms and that sort of thing, because I am now having to teach myself more about that, and it's just time consuming. But you know, what do you do?
You know, Kelly, you really have come a long way in that regard, and I just need to tell a short story. When the two of us were flying back from Chicago, and you looked at me and you said, "Hey, Dad, when we take the car in for a oil change, is the oil free?" And you really have come a long way, because there are a few things, being creative and being always on the one side of your brain being pumped with stimulation and information and challenges. The other side has come a long, long, long way. I commend you.
I feel like in having my own business, I've really realized that there is nothing for free.
Nothing.
Not a nary a single item is for free. It's crazy out there. And it's expensive out there.
Oh, hey, why do you think most people give up that start their own business?
It's hard. It's really hard. And if you can't be your own cheerleader and you can't look at the great days, like, it's easy to give up on it. I mean, you're not going to always have people who are telling you that you're doing a great job. I mean, I've been doing this for what, a month and a half now, and day one, everybody was so excited, and don't get me wrong, like, people are still very, very supportive, but you have to be able to continue to charge on every single day, even whenever you feel like, oh man, it would be so easy right now to go get a job anywhere, but that's not what I want to do. And if you're going to have your own business, you know, obviously you're doing it for a reason. You want to be your own boss. You believe in something. You want to have a product for people. You want to offer a service for people. So commit to it and just do it. And then, you know, if you do it and you do it hard and you are passionate about it for a long time and it doesn't pan out, I mean, at some point you got to reassess, right? Because at the end of the day, you have to have an income. Like, unfortunately, that's just how the world works. You have to pay for things and life's expensive. But don't give up so soon. My God, people.
I think a lot of people probably cut bait a little too soon.
Absolutely. It takes time. I mean, I learned this too. It takes what, like, at least a year to see any kind of cash flow, really and truly. I mean, thankfully, because of what I'm doing, I have existing clients that I still work with, and they just, you know, write a check to the KDS Collaborative, and as opposed to me personally. So that's good, because I see some income. But I mean, new clients and that sort of thing, relationships take time. Building takes time. And you have to be patient.
No doubt about it. So let me get to a question that many of the listeners I know are wanting to hear how you respond. Why should I hire you? If I don't hire you, what will I be missing for a project or a new program?
So first off, I think that I'm a very positive person, and I really pride myself on being able to get people excited about pretty much anything, truly. And I think that what I do really well is I find what an individual's strengths are and help them recognize that and help them build confidence in that. And then from there, they can bring that to the forefront of what they're doing and be more successful. I think that's where my strength is. I say all the time, when people ask me about choreographing a dance, you know, there are some people and some teams that I've worked with along the way that maybe haven't been on paper the most technically talented, but I think that I can do a really good job of finding where their strengths are, capitalizing on their strengths, and then they do things like win. You know, like it's, and that's a talent that I think that I've been very fortunate to be blessed with, and it's not something that everybody can do. You know, I think too, along with being positive, I have a lot of energy, so much so that people are kind of weirded out by it sometimes. I kind of wake up like at a 10 and it goes to about a 45 throughout the course of the day.
Yeah.
Just full court press all the time.
Well, I do commend you. I mean, you obviously assess talent and where the people are individually and as a team, and you have to do that. I'm just amazed that you can watch a group and put together in short order what would work for them. So you're kind of customizing. You're not taking things off the shelf.
No, but that's not just for teams. I feel like I can do that in, for people's personalities pretty quickly too. Like if I'm meeting someone and I'm working with someone for the first time, you know, I think I'm a pretty good listener, and I can find where people, what's important to them and how to bring that out of them and how to help them kind of cultivate that a little bit more.
And that is, obviously, you do a great job. That's why you get so much repeat and referral business. Okay, some of the next questions I have lined up that our listeners have sent in, I'm going to do a little more rapid fire. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
You sure?
I think so.
Okay, here we go. First of all, what is your favorite project that you've ever worked on?
My favorite project that I've ever worked on, that's a hard one because I've really enjoyed so many things along the way. I've been really fortunate to work with great people and work at a lot of fun places. But I love Grand Carnival through Cedar Fair. That's one of my favorites. I had a great time kicking that off, and now we're moving into season two, and so I'm really looking forward to that. I'm in a little bit of a different role this year, and so that's been fun to build. I think that my other, you know, favorite project would probably be my building of JAG Swag at Seckman High School. I worked really hard on that for a lot of years, and, you know, got to work with so many amazing athletes and experience so many ups and downs and, you know, twists and turns. And that was really fun and really neat. And I met some of my absolute favorite people on this planet through that. This building the KDS Collaborative has also been a very fun project for me, just because I'm solely in control of it. And, I have to go to work every day, because if I don't go to work every day, nothing's going to get done.
Oh, that's so very true. When you're self-employed running your own business, if you take a day off, your business is shut down.
It is. And I, you know, I had Jack Swoboda on here a few weeks ago, and he is the one who said those words out loud to me. And that really stuck with me, is that, you know, he wanted to do something that made him feel like he wasn't just another wheel in a business, you know?
Right.
And that really, really stuck with me. Like on days that I don't want to get up and do it, it's like, if I don't, it's not going to get done because nobody's doing it for you. So
no, not at
that's
all.
That's pretty cool.
So what has been one of your biggest challenges as a coach?
Managing personalities can be tricky, especially when you have a lot of females together in a room. And so, you know, and on top of that too, it's hard to make everybody happy. You're never going to make everybody happy. And so in coaching, you know, there's going to be disappointments for kids along the way. And that's hard for me to see. If a kid's working hard, and or an athlete in general is working hard, or anyone for that matter is working really hard, and it's just not happening for them, that's really challenging for me because I want the best for everybody. And so when I have to burst bubbles, or, you know, they don't get the end result that they want, that's really challenging. And probably the biggest challenge, honestly. And it's not, It's not for the athletes that sit back and expect everything to be handed to them. Like that's, I don't want to say I don't care about them. Of course I care, but it's the ones that are giving it 110%. And it's the ones that just keep coming back and keep trying. Performers, athletes, people in general, you know, that's challenging to have to kind of break their spirit. But on the flip side of that, I have found, because it's happened quite a few times along the way, when I'm seeing that happening, I'm pretty quick to suggest a way that they can still be involved with what they love, but maybe right. in a different capacity. Yeah. So maybe you're not the best dancer, but you obviously have the heart and you love dance and you love, you know, everything that goes along with it. So maybe you're more in a more of a managerial kind of position, or, you know, maybe you could be an amazing coach. Like I know that I was a good dancer, but I think that I am better suited in as a choreographer or a coach, you know, like I wasn't incredible by any means, and that's okay. And so I think whenever those challenges arise with athletes and performers and people in general, they can definitely be disappointments and they can be struggles, but it's just how you reframe, you got to reframe it, you know, and it's how you go about that.
So I know you've touched on it a bit, but if you had to frame, what would be the biggest maybe accomplishment you've ever had as a coach? Try to frame that for us.
Well, I mean, I feel like I would be telling a big fat lie if I didn't say winning a national championship was pretty neat. But I don't know that that was the icing on the cake. I think that the real win as a coach along the way has been just hearing from the athletes, you know, during and after, that have told me that I've like changed their life. You know, that hearing those words, that never gets old, and have no idea how much just saying thank you to the people that have helped you along the way. I don't know. It's huge.
So other than saying thank you and looking at the individual player's strength, any special advice you'd give a brand new coach, somebody that's just coming out of the gate?
So I think that, you know, when you're a brand new coach, whether you're walking into a program or you're building a program, I think it's very important that you assess the temperature or the climate that you're walking into. So if you're having to start over for whatever reason, that's a whole nother, you know, can of worms. But if you're walking into a program that has been successful, or, you know, like crazy successful, or even just slightly successful, I think you look at what is working for the program and you leave that alone, and you look at what could make the program better. And that's where you start making changes and start making it your own. I think if you walk into a situation and just start changing things for the sake of changing things, or, you know, disrupting the flow because you're new and you want to, you know, leave your mark or whatever, like that's just going to make people angry. So I think you have to be cautious in making a lot of changes really quickly. I know whenever I took over at Sekman, I was not welcomed with open arms at first, because there were some things that were important to me that I tried to implement really quickly that I stuck by. Don't get me wrong, it did not make the transition super easy. But even though that happened, I made sure that I very much had the support of the administration. I did reach out to quite a few parents to make sure that I wasn't a crazy person, which hashtag I know I am, it's fine. But, you know, you got to get that feedback, and you have to have their buy-in. And you're not going to get buy-in from people if you don't bring them into the process. It's just not going to happen.
No, it's not. And there's a difference between being crazy bad and crazy good.
For sure.
And
don't get me wrong. Like, I was not a perfect coach. I'm still not a perfect coach. I am learning every day. And I know there are a lot of things that I did while I was coaching at Sekman that probably were not, you know, the best decision, but you make the best decision that you can in the moment.
At the time,
and, you know, I can look back on them now and say, ooh, I wish I would have done that differently. or, you know, I should have done X, Y, Z, but you don't know that at the time. And so for new coaches, the last bit of advice that I would say is be patient with yourself and just don't take yourself too seriously. Like, you're gonna mess up. You're totally going to, and that's okay. Totally okay.
Yeah, it's it definitely, you just hope you don't keep messing up the same way.
No.
If it doesn't
figure
work.
Figure it out and move on.
Yeah, look at that scoreboard, and if it's not reading that there's improvement, change the plan. You know, you've had a lot of dances over all the years that you've choreographed. Do you have a favorite? And if so, I'm guessing you do, which one is it?
So, that's hard. I have a lot of pieces that I've really liked along the way. For a long time, I wanted to choreograph Man in the Mirror. And so there was a team of Jagswag girls that made that come to life for me, which was awesome. That's definitely one of them. There is a dance that is happening this year out in the world at Dance Craze in Washington, Missouri, that's called Satellite, that I just saw again while I was home last, and that got me feeling some kind of way. It's beautiful, and they're dancing it beautifully. I think that if I had to pick my absolute favorite, that's so hard. There was a solo that was done by a fabulous, fabulous dancer named Alexis Roberts to Foolish Games. That was really therapeutic for me. That's probably one of my favorites. Maybe my absolute favorite, though, was a piece called All Through the Night that I did on a small group of girls at On Your Toes Dance Studio, and it was about my grandma whenever she slipped and broke her hip, and just kind of, you know, the what has happened along the way since then. And I think that's, if I had to pick, gun to my head, that's probably my favorite.
Well, that's neat. Mm-hmm. I tell you what, it's funny how we think of certain anchors in our lives or certain events that have taken place, and you use that as a reference point.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty normal, and it makes it more real to life.
For sure.
So I've been wondering this myself. What does the S stand for in KDS Collaborative? What's the S for?
Wow, so many people have asked me this question. So the S is...
I promised your mom I would ask.
The S is a possessive. Kelly Dardiza Collaborative. And if I would have just said the KD Collaborative, people were beginning to think it was Katie. Like, my name is Kate, Katie type of thing.
Right.
And so I think, like, when you say it, the KDS has a better ring to it. So that's why I lumped that in. It is not an initial. It is not a, doesn't stand for kind of dope swag like Jack Swoboda thought for a long time. But yeah, that's what it is. It's a possessive.
That's fair. You know, you've always had an interesting twist on the spelling of things. I remember way, way, way back, you wanted to change your name to the spelling of Kelly to K-E-L-L-I.
And yep, that was a dark time.
Kelly with an I. Yeah.
There's probably a lot of people out there who still have me in their phones as that, actually.
Kelly with an I. Stink eye.
Oh, gosh. And I also, whenever I was in first grade, I don't know if you remember this, but I changed my name for a minute to Sandy.
Oh,
or Sandra, because of Greece.
I do remember that, and you repeatedly changed your hair color, and there were a lot of changes going on back then.
I like change. You don't grow without change, you know?
No, and you did a lot of growing. So what is your least favorite part about being your own boss?
Oh, my least favorite part about being my own boss is there is an inconsistency with being paid. That's a struggle.
Yeah.
But again, part of the gig, man. So you just got to figure it out. It's figuring out how to budget differently. Not having a salary is, I know, for a lot of people, really scary. And for me, I feel like, yes, it's scary, but I just always figure it out. I don't know how, I don't know why, but, you know, sometimes you just got to go, all right, well, you know, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it, and it's fine.
And, you know, I went over to get can of Diet Coke out of your refrigerator, and I saw the tip jar next to the refrigerator, and I thought, well, Kelly, she's figured this part out. Not only do I like Diet Coke, but I can't resist giving a tip. So any particular favorite words or phrases or quotes that play an important part in your day or in your life?
Oh, man. There's a lot of them. I love the Killers have a song that says, "And I don't shine if you don't shine." And that's a song lyric that I really latch onto, because I feel like if the people that I'm working with or collaborating with, if they aren't successful, I'm not successful. So that's a big one. People would say that a quote that I say a lot is all of the things, like we're going to do all of the things and all of the things are going to happen and all of the things. And in fact, probably if you went back through some of these podcasts and listened for that, you would find that it's mentioned a lot. And I think that's because I operate really well in chaos. And when all of the things are happening, that's when I feel most excited and most inspired.
Well, I know you did I landed on Tuesday, you said, "What do you want to do?" And I go, "What are my options?" And you go, "We have all these things." And I go, "Well, name a few." And you did mention, and the game was a big part, and that was tons of fun. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. What a great experience to go.
We went to the UNC Wake Forest game as well.
Got to see, without being there illegally. Last time I was here in town, I snuck into the gym and within a minute or two got escorted out. But today, this trip, I had a ticket, and that was a great experience. And then I said, "What else can we do?" And she said, "Well, let's see, there's breweries." And I said, "Well, yeah, okay." So we hit a few of those, but we've had a great, great time.
Yeah,
you know, Kelly, I want to touch on something real fast, and because I think it's very important to my understanding of what you're doing, and I get it, but I want you to explain to the listeners your Thank For program or how that fits into your program.
Well, I am a strong believer that you absolutely do not get anywhere in your life without recognizing the people that have helped you get to certain places and having an attitude of gratitude and just being thankful for the great things that happen to you day in and day out. And so my hashtag Thankfor is that. It's waking up in the morning and, you know, first thing right out of the gate is figuring out what are four things that you're thankful for that day. And it changes day to day, you know. It doesn't have to be anything deep. It can just be, you know, I'm thankful that I got to eat a taco this morning, even though it was cold. I don't know. Whatever the case may be, it's four things that you're thankful for. And just recognizing that. Because having that attitude of gratitude out in the universe is huge. So my Thankfor for the day, I'm thankful that you were here visiting this week for the game and just getting to do all of the things that we did.
That long list.
That was fun. I'm thankful for Reynaldo. He is a great rock for me in terms of he's always in a good mood. He is so caring. He is not an emotional human being. So I think he's very,
very steady.
And
yeah.
He's just been such an amazing part of my life. That's two. I'm thankful for my entire family, including Mary Kay, Mike, Amanda, Luke, all of them. And then, of course, my extended family, cousins, aunts and uncles, grandparents, kind of all lumped into one there. And then my last one, I'm so thankful for all of the athletes and performers and friends that I've gotten to know and gotten to work with and collaborate with and coach along the way. I mean, that might sound kind of boring and like very basic, but I really am very thankful for them. I have a lot of positions where they instill a lot of trust in me, and I'm very thankful that they do that. because if they didn't, I wouldn't have a job and I wouldn't have any friends.
So you're actually doing your thank for every day.
Yeah.
So you're looking for four things today that you're thankful for.
Those were my four.
Yeah, that's cool. That's great. All right. I've heard you play this game. Now it's your turn to be on the very hot seat. This or that.
Oh, boy.
All right. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. You have to pick between sushi and your mom's lasagna.
Oof. Well, Mary Kay's a lot of things, but she's a little hit or miss in the kitchen. Although sushi can be a little hit or miss. Her lasagna is pretty good.
It is.
I don't want to throw a lot of shade at that, but I do really like sushi, so I probably would go sushi.
Okay. You have to drive from Washington, Missouri to your facility here, your apartment here, and you have to pick. Or do you want to make that trip in the car with your mom or your dad? You have to pick one and tell us why.
Well, I have already made the trip once with Mary Kay, so I would pick you because it would be a new experience.
Oh, wow. That's a good one. Good one, Kelly. Okay, you have to pick between Duke and Borgia.
Oh, gosh, that's brutal. Are we talking about basketball or are we talking about dance teams?
Let's make it basketball.
Duke, any day.
Really?
Absolutely.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. As far as your least favorite sporting experience, would it be basketball or water skiing?
I've never water skied, but I have played basketball, and I'm really bad at it. In fact, I dribbled the wrong way down the court, so I would say basketball, probably.
You know, that's the only time I can remember when you were growing up that I literally wanted to run out and tackle you. You're going the wrong way, and I thought, this isn't going to work.
Well, I was in sixth grade playing on the seventh grade team, and it was just not, it did not go well.
All right. Next item. And this is the last one, I guess?
No, there's eight.
There's eight. Okay,
yes,
I didn't know.
Five.
Oh, this is good.
You said, I'm just going to fly off the cuff.
I love this game. Okay, you have to pick between, would you rather spend a day fishing or painting a room?
Painting a room. I like to paint.
Whoa, that's an interesting answer.
Yeah, I hate fishing. It's boring.
Next question. Would you rather go out for breakfast or lunch?
Well, there's this thing that's called brunch that I'm really into, which is a combination of the things. But I would say breakfast.
Breakfast. Boy, you're kind of a middle of the roader. all right. We have an upcoming election going on.
Oh, boy.
And right now there are two front runners for the Democratic position. It's Bernie and Joe. Joe or Bernie? Bernie or Joe?
This might be an unpopular opinion, but I would probably go with Uncle Joe, and here's why.
All right.
This is going to be the most unpopular part of this answer.
Yeah.
I really and truly, I am not educated in terms of politics at all. I don't know what either stand for. I know Bernie is way out there, and I know Uncle Joe is forgetting a lot of things, and that's cool, I guess. But Uncle Joe rocks a pair of aviator sunglasses better than anybody on this planet, which I know is a terrible reason to vote for anyone. I know this. Don't come for me. I know it's a terrible reason, but I still respect the man's ability to just, he rocks them.
Well, you know, there's a lot to be said for appearance. An awful lot.
That is such a shallow answer. I don't know. That's hard to say. I think that we definitely need some change, and probably Bernie's going to shake it up a little bit more than Joe. I don't know. I don't know.
You know.
Lame.
You have one more?
Yeah.
All right. This one's a tough one. You're going to really have to think this one over. Your mom is an amazing person.
Yes.
Would she be a better fit as the president or the Pope?
Probably the Pope.
And your reasoning is?
She's a woman of faith. She's a church-going lady. I feel like she might be a little too emotional for the presidency, maybe. I don't know, though. Our current president is pretty emotional. She might be okay. But I'd still probably go Pope for her. Plus, she'd look cute in that hat.
So, MK for Pope. A new campaign.
Okay, for Pope would be great.
That is great. Well, Kelly, I tell you what, this has been fun.
This has been fun.
And I really, really have learned a lot about you. Some of it, I have to say, was a great refresher. Some of it I knew, or I thought I knew how you would answer it. You did have a few surprises.
Really?
But they were all good. They were well thought through on your part. So I appreciate that. You've just done an amazing job.
Thank you.
I really like this new venture. Any
Thank
closing
you.
Words, Kelly?
No, it's, you know, now having been in the hot seat, I got to add to my thank for to the guests that I've had so far on this podcast, because it's a little stressful being on the other side of this. And, you know, I appreciate you. Good
well, you
job.
Know,
You're
I've,
doing great.
I've done both sides, and the side I'm on today was definitely the easiest. So Kelly, again, great job.
Well, thank you. And thank you for being a great interviewer.
Everybody, thank you so much for being here for Choreograph Your Life. We hope that you have enjoyed this episode. Next week, we will not be having an episode, but we will kick back up in 2 weeks with a new format. It is going to be season 2 of Choreograph Your Life, the 8-week series. And we will be talking about my program, Create 678. So I hope you look forward to that. In the meantime, have a wonderful day. And stay safe.